face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
I've been doing that off air the first 3 hours.
I finally mustered up the courage.
Bring it on air.
It was the Michael Hurley music last break that really got you in the mood.
Yeah, I can sing along to that part. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the skills I bring to this. The Felger and Maz program here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I, songstress that I am, that's right, I made myself a woman in this scenario.
Gender is a spectrum.
Happy to sing along with that and happy to be your host for today, tomorrow, and the next day. Michael Hurley only lucky enough to sit alongside with me today, as he has done for 3 hours and will do for 1 hour more as we take you right up till 6 o'clock. And whatever 6 o'clock brings you, I'm not entirely clear, but I'm sure it'll be glorious.
Joe Murray.
I love me some Joe Murray.
5 hours.
5 hours. Needles in my eye.
Oh, that's Joe Shaughnessy.
Stan Shaughnessy would say.
Yep.
So listen, here's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for what I'm going to do?
No, but go ahead.
I'm telling you now what I'm going to do. You have a Bruins thought. You announced
Patriots
this to me. That's what I meant to say. A Patriots thought. You announced this to me in the break.
Yep.
I am eager to get to this Patriots thought. But
okay.
But first, we're going to knock out some phone calls.
All right, let's do it.
Because that's what we're going to do. That's
we like
how
to give a
roll.
Voice to the people.
I do.
Who are we to stifle the voices?
Yes. And the Bruins people have come through. And there's a Terry Rozier thought in here.
Okay.
And really,
okay,
do you ever want to let a Terry Rozier thought die in the vine?
Answering honestly, occasionally. But
okay,
that's not today.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to start with Danny in Grafton, who announces nobody needs Lucic, which I think would speak right to your soul, because I think you agree.
Yeah.
Go
How's
ahead,
it going,
Danny?
Boys? First time, long time. How you doing?
All right.
So, I mean, Wayne Grafton is completely wrong. Everybody wants the player that Lucic used to be when he was with Boston just before the last year he's with us. He's absolute garbage, doesn't put any goals up on the boards. He's maybe the shell of the bruiser he used to be, and it's everybody loves the thought of who Lucic was.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I think we see that across all sports when it comes to, particularly in hometowns. Like, I don't know that anyone in Chicago wants the player that Lucic used to be. But when you take a player in Boston who, again, regardless of sport, was once, you know, a star on a team that had success, the notion that that player could come back, I think, tugs at the kind of heartstrings of fans, and they will be willing to overlook the fact that, well, a player like Lucic really isn't anything much to write home about anymore.
You should spend equal time talking about Lucic as you do Ovechkin coming to the Bruins.
Because they're both equally likely. Not equally as impactful.
Slightly different impact, but just the same likelihood of happening.
Do you guys think that Sweeney and Neely would actually go out of their way to make a deal with Peter Chiarelli?
Well, I don't think that there's any reason. I mean, just because used to be the guy here?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a grudge. No. I mean,
Felger had a good point on that, though. He said you got to make any deal that Chiarelli offers you, you got to accept because he's lost about $1 million in a row.
Yeah, with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that, you know, listen, these dudes are all in the business of being in the business, right? They're all.
Yeah, it's
all
like the same decision.
And again, they didn't fire Chiarelli, and Chiarelli didn't do anything to them. So there's no reason that they would have any sort of bad blood, and I think DeFelger's point that Michael Hurley so illuminated perfectly.
Anything he offers, you say sure.
You'd be like, yeah, that sounds good to me, pal. Let's
roll
go with
on
it.
Red carpet.
Dave in Haverhill, welcome to the program.
What's up, guys? Merry post-Christmas, everything you guys worship. Man, hope you do a great job. Really appreciate listening, Saj, man. I don't know why you get ragged on so much. Everybody's they're just hating.
Thanks,
but
Dave.
I was calling about the goalie situation. But first, if the Bruins could have had one of the guys, Sagan, Kessel, I don't know, with this team, it would have been great. But I truly believe that Halak is the number one goalie. He's like, what, 34, 35? I think they should be using Rask to save him for the playoffs. And I know it's not even All-Star. And I'll leave you guys with this. Again, you guys do a hell of a job. Really appreciating it. But I really think the Bruins, I mean, yes, Tampa Bay, Klaus, Toronto, they got Tavares. But if we grab someone at the deadline, I think we got a shot with a hot goalie. Peace, guys.
Dave and Haverhill coming in strong.
That's good.
So I think, like we mentioned earlier, I think they've already done that, given the way that they've used Halak compared to Rask over the past month plus. You know what's a big thing? I said it's not a big story. No one's talking about it. You know what's coming up there, Marshall Hook?
Do tell.
Big event for the Boston Bruins. Nationally televised game on New Year's Day, played outdoors at Notre Dame.
6 days.
Who's starting that one?
Oh, see, that is a good question.
That's always
that
a big story.
Excellent question.
Because that, if that is Yaroslav Halak's game, then that is when it becomes the big story. Because it's not really, it's happened without an announcement. But when Halak gets 3 out of 4 last week and Rask gets the Sunday game, doesn't play in Montreal, against Nashville, plays against Carolina.
Here's what I'll boldly predict for you. Because Chicago
stinks,
sucks butt.
Okay, that's one way to say it.
And because Tuukka Rask is the guy who makes all the money and the guy that, you know, is nationally considered your starting goalie. And because, despite the fact that, to your point, that they've apparently flipped roles but nobody has noticed.
Yeah.
I think you put all that into a pot, turn it on medium heat, and stir. Mm-hmm. You're going to get Tuukka Rask starting in that game on the theory that, A, the team sucks, and, B, we don't really want to alert anyone to the fact this guy is no longer our starting goalie.
What do they care, though? I feel like Cassidy doesn't really care.
Unless, again, this is why it's working right now, right? Everyone seems to be on the same page. Tuukka Rask isn't out there complaining that he isn't getting starts.
He's not Jimmy Butler.
He's not that guy. It's working right now. And despite the fact that they have all the injuries that they have, this is a team that hasn't gone into the nosedive that I think a lot of people predicted when, you know, one guy after another ended up being injured. So whereas Bruce Cassidy may not care specifically about how Tuukka Rask feels about this, that, or the other thing, or how, you know, all due respect, Michael Hurley feels about anything.
You're saying
he probably
like
does care that everything right now is working.
Don't rock the boat.
So let's not do anything to taunt that.
It would be easier for him to roll Rask out there than vice versa.
Yes, because I don't think nationally people are tuning into the Bruins.
Yeah.
So go ahead, put Rask out there in a big game and you know, let everyone say, oh, I guess Tuukka Rask is still the goalie, and then keep on going.
He's got he's got experience playing in these Winter Classics. People forget he stopped 25 out of 30 shots against the Canadiens in that memorable Winter Classic a few years ago. So he's got the experience. You can't discount that.
Yes, that's true. Winter Classic experience is an underrated thing. You know what's not underrated? Our Michael Hurley thoughts on the Patriots. And I'm ready. I am buckled in.
So, okay.
I am sitting back, and I am ready to just stand awash.
I just have a proposal maybe for feelings, and I don't want to tell people how to feel. But to me, I think the way that the Patriots currently are, the way that they are going into the playoffs this final week, week 17 game against the Jets, there's this level of uncertainty that hasn't been there with the Patriots for a very long time. And I think that is a good thing. You are basically, I think the Patriots fans have been sort of, some have been squirming, some have been angry. There are some people who have written them off completely because they're not the best team in the league. And I think this is a moment worth embracing because you really haven't had this for a long time where name the AFC playoffs field from Kansas City to Houston to Baltimore to, to
L.A.
L.A., and then you have, there's a sixth team in there too, probably the Colts or whoever.
Yeah, Colts, Titans. Tennessee, whatever.
So maybe even, not even excluding that, whoever that second wildcard team is, there's no playoff game on the horizon that's a sure thing. There is no guaranteed path to an AFC championship game or a Super Bowl, and to a lot of people that is repulsive and that is angry. I mean, Johnson and I on Monday, we're rattling off all the accomplishments that the Patriots reached, whether it be 16 wins for 10 wins for 16 straight years, 10 straight AFC titles, blah, blah, blah. People are saying, who cares? This team stinks. Well, this team is like most NFL teams right now. And as a fan, you have this opportunity to sort of, I don't know, go on a ride, you know, root for your team and see what happens. Because I think you've been so conditioned to just saying, well, the season really starts in the middle of January with the AFC championship game. I think it's different this year, and I think, at least from my standpoint, I know mine is different. I'm more of the entertainment, give me a bag of popcorn and let's see what happens standpoint. I don't really care about the outcome, but I think it's worth, you know, savoring a little bit because you don't often live that life.
I mean, it is true that oftentimes in the playoffs, that sixth team, maybe not often, but you've seen cases where that sixth team even has a sub 500 record. That
sure.
You get some team in there and they're like,
Tebow.
Well, that team doesn't belong.
Right.
And you know that they're going to get knocked out quickly. I mean, I think Tennessee is probably a bit of a long shot, but they, I mean, I think they would clearly be the sixth team in that pool. But other than that, it is true that I think any one of those teams has a legitimate chance of being the AFC representative in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I know that people don't love Houston as much, and I'm sure that if you ask, they could rank these, and Kansas City still seems to be on the path to being that team. But I certainly don't think if I told you, you know, 3 weeks from now or whenever it is, that the Patriots lost to Indianapolis or the Patriots lost to Baltimore or the Patriots lost to L.A., that you would go, there's no way.
Yeah.
That would be a huge upset. I don't think any of those would be a huge upset.
And the flip side is true, too. I wouldn't count them out of any game. They've already beaten Kansas City, and Kansas City has lost its four biggest games of the year. So I think Andy Reid in January is far from a sure thing, whether it's in Kansas City or elsewhere. I would not count the Patriots out of any team, any game against any team in the AFC playoffs, and I think it's fun, at least for me. I'm not going to tell you how to feel. You can feel however you want to feel, but some of the response you get when you point out the fact that, you know, they have won 10 games for a 16th straight year, they're going to win 11 games, it's sort of like this disgust. Like, this team isn't as good as 2014 or 16 or 07 or whatever. It doesn't really matter because, you know, they're in this year and they have just as good a chance as anyone. It's just not the 50% that it usually is. It's a little bit lower, but I say enjoy the ride.
I say embrace the fact that they're not a sure thing.
It's fun.
Because
you don't know what's going to happen.
Patriots fans have been basically playing Madden on easy mode for the last 10 years or whatever it is.
Yeah, right? Now,
like,
it's
we'll
a little...
just roll through it.
Right.
Yeah, now you've upped the mode a little bit.
A little bit.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. You're listening to Felger and Mazz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. That's what you're listening to. Alternatively, you could be watching us on the television. Mike, I don't know if you are aware of this. We have been on TV this whole time.
So I should not have been picking my nose the whole time?
No, like there's a camera there and one there and one there and one there. We have been on TV.
Who knew?
This entire time. So,
Man, I would have showered.
I would have approached things differently, as the case may be. Either listening or watching, you can call 617-779-0985. That's how you do that, to talk to us, like Jake and Bill Ricka did, to talk to us about Coach Bill Belichick of your New England Patriots. Welcome, Jake.
How's it going, fellas?
All right.
I just want to talk about Billy B and his decision-making lately. Honestly, I think he's starting to go down the toilet.
See what we did there. See what we did. And again, people hold on for a long time for that. But let me take the sadness that was that and turn it into,
something?
Have spent a lot of time talking about Tom Brady getting old, Tom Brady being ineffective. We've talked a little bit about Gronk doing the same, Julian Edelman.
Aren't we all?
I mean, we are all by definition getting old, but getting old to a detriment. Have we seen any of that from Bill Belichick? Obviously, it's not the same in terms of it being a physical thing, but there is... Or at least have been examples of people who've been in the game for so long at some level, you know, they don't just seem as motivated. And I know that when you look at the Patriots roster and you look at what it is that Bill Belichick, the general manager, put together for Tom Brady this year in terms of building this roster, I don't know. I don't know that one of the questions going all the way back to OTAs is everyone invested in this season? And I think that much of that focus of answering that question has been directed toward Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, who didn't show up. But I also think it's a valid question of Bill Belichick. Is he as invested in this season as he has been in past ones?
You're asking me that?
I am. I'm asking you.
I haven't seen an indication that Bill Belichick is not invested in the football team. I think football is his life and will always be his life. And whether or not he makes questionable decisions, which, I mean, you can still get hung up on the end of the Miami game. That is something that shouldn't happen to the Patriots. That is something that they should have been the better prepared team for and the better executing team. And that is something that is a rare thing. But at the same time, it's not exactly an indication of like age or checking out, because the 2015 year had just as many sort of mental errors. I still think the game plan going into week 17 of 2015 was the worst of the Bill Belichick era. That was the Steven Jackson game. That was the don't let Brady throw until the end of the second quarter game because we don't want him to get him hurt. Ending up having to throw, getting hurt anyway. It was just the cluster, and then what happens in 16, they go out and win the Super Bowl. So I'm not willing to take individual things and make grander points just because it's 2 years or 3 years later than that. I'm not going to question his dedication to the football team.
I'm not looking at in-game decisions. I'm looking at the team that he put together in what theoretically are the waning years of Tom Brady. And is that trading Brandon Cooks, who clearly was a weapon that Brady could have used given how this year has developed? And yes, they got good value and that they got a first-round pick. That's fine, but there is also this year to talk about. Like, that's the first-round pick, great. You know, if you're building a team, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But part of it, for me at least, goes back to, if we're to believe everything we've read, that he did not want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, that he did, in fact, examine and take a look at and was ready to trade Rob Gronkowski, then in my mind, part of what could be a lack of whatever investment in this year's team was, this is not the team that Bill Belichick wanted this year. If we're to believe everything we read, the team that he wanted was Jimmy Garoppolo and somebody else at tight end.
I don't know. I mean, if he was, to me, all those things are Belichick being Bill Belichick, which is long-term planning, which is, you know, not overspending 1 year compared to the next. I think if Bill Belichick was, you know, acting differently, if he was, you know, overspending on Nate Solder and Danny Amendola and Deion Lewis and trying to keep the band together, that would have stuck out more than what he did. What the reason the Patriots aren't ever 6-10 or 7-9 or 5-11 is because Belichick runs the team that way. And I think you have these years that aren't as great as the other ones, but the fact that we can talk about a down year being an 11-5 year and a first round bye, you know, theoretically, imagining you get past the Jets. That is why the Patriots are the Patriots. And we can talk about 11-5 being just drastically worse than 12-4 or 13-3. That isn't that bad. If this is what the bad year is, you're doing okay.
Ryan in South Boston, welcome to Felger and Mass.
Hey, guys. I just want to talk about moving on from Tom Brady a couple years down the line here. You know, I look around the league, I see a guy like Mahomes slinging it, who had a chance to, you know, sit back a year behind Alex Smith. And then you always see a bunch of, you know, first-year quarterbacks that get thrust into a starting role. You know, I'm curious if you guys think it's just about finding the guy, or does it, you know, is there something to sitting behind and learning from a quarterback for a year or two moving on?
You know, I had this conversation last week with, and I'll admit, I don't remember who. Mm-hmm. But I am, and you and I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier today, the two different ways that people apparently develop quarterbacks at this point is you either draft them and then immediately start them, mm-hmm. or you draft them behind a more established veteran, and you let them learn for a year or two. One of my beefs with the Patriots, and we, you know, applied it directly to Lamar Jackson, but really for me, it's a bigger picture item, is I think that they should expend a higher draft pick on a quarterback at this point, just because it is such an enormously vital position. And it is the single position, not exactly breaking news here, the single position that most has something to do with your success or lack thereof.
Yes.
And I just firmly believe that as long as you've got Tom Brady, you should take advantage of that and put somebody behind him who actually has a chance, has potential, is not necessarily the sure thing, but who could benefit from being behind Tom Brady for a couple years. As long as you've got the guy around, why not do that rather than put all of your eggs in the basket of Josh Allen or the handful of people who've been at the helm of the Cleveland Browns before?
You didn't like
Baker
Josh
Mayfield.
Allen Sunday? You didn't like those throws into the cheerleaders?
I mean, if the cheerleaders were eligible receivers, then that would be good.
Belichick might find a way to make that happen. You never know. He's always learning bouncing around the rules. But we agree on this. It's just so hard to find that guy. I think it almost doesn't matter whether you sit behind a year or you start right away, because the guy matters the most. I think ultimately you can only do so much with a certain person, and it's the hardest thing to do. I think it's the hardest thing to do is find the next guy. You look at teams that keep trying to find that next guy, and granted, some of them aren't put in the best positions. Like Maybe Darnold is a guy, but I don't know that he's in a great position to thrive and become the next, you know, top five quarterback in the league. That team's always a mess. That team's perpetually a mess, and I don't know that, you know, anyone can overcome their situation.
And maybe that best defines why I think having him behind an established quarterback works. Not necessarily, I guess, because they are going to learn from Tom Brady, but at least you have an idea.
You learn the system. Who, you learn the process.
Well, no, but you have it. You as the coach or you as the GM have a better idea of who this guy is and what he can do when he's spent a year or two with you rather than watching him in college. So, like, the Bills, they draft Josh Allen and they give Josh Allen the keys to the car. And they're like, all right, go for it. Now we're going to see. Now
well, they also had Peterman, so don't forget
that's
that.
That's true. That is true.
I think
my only point is this. Like, you know, if Garoppolo was that guy, they didn't know that when they drafted him, and they didn't learn whether he was or wasn't by starting him immediately after they drafted him. They learned by having him in the system, watching him practice, doing whatever it is that they did with Jimmy Garoppolo. And then, again, if we're to believe everything we read, Bill Belichick decided that he was the guy and was ready to hand the franchise over to him. I think that he felt comfortable doing that because he was around for a while rather than I'm just going to grab this guy out of the draft and throw him in the driver's seat.
I think a big teller on that would be whether they kept – was Mallett on that 2014 team?
He was,
did they keep three quarterbacks? Because I think that is the, you know, the telltale sign of whether you believe – yeah, they did. They had Mallett on the roster after final cuts. So I think that – speaks to your point that they weren't, you know, fully aware because it took time, especially a guy coming out of FCS. But I think what is natural when you're, you know, wholly focused and obsessed or whatever you want to call it on one team is you say, oh, if the Patriots, if Brady gets hurt, they're screwed or whatever. But isn't that the case? That's the case with every team.
That is the case with everyone.
I don't think there's any team out there in the playoff field where they could handle losing their quarterback.
Come on,
maybe Baltimore.
Philadelphia.
That's true, but I would argue that Nick Foles is heavenly, or he's not of this humankind. I think the fact that he can be basically killed by Jadeveon Clowney and then heal within a minute to win the game speaks to something else going on there. Something divine is going on with Nick Foles. But I think the point is there aren't many teams. I mean, if Phil Rivers goes down, the Chargers are done. If Mahomes goes down, the Chiefs are done. I think it's just sort of speaks to how hard it is to find the guy, let alone a second guy.
617-779-0985 is the phone number here. Felger and Maz on a, what day is it? Is it Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Yeah, it doesn't matter this week.
No, because it's agenda-free every day here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Mike Riley's going to get you caught up on the headlines. One more segment of your phone calls here on the Felger and Maz program. The Felger and Maserati program. I was about to tweet back at somebody, but I've decided not to.
Never tweet back.
That's the bold choice I made.
Was it a troll?
No, it's actually they're fine people. Like, I don't respond to those people at all.
Yeah, good.
When it's not going anywhere?
I think they're trying to, to burn me, so to speak.
Oh.
You know, like sick burn. By making fun of Boston University athletics.
Oh, okay.
My taste for Boston University and my allegiance to it has shockingly nothing to do with its athletic program.
Mm. Right.
Like, they've got a very good hockey team. That's great and all, but I'm a bright enough fella that I'm not going to, you know, hitch my wagon to BU Sports as the reason to declare it the superior institution to the pool of suck that is Boston College. So,
all right. So you didn't respond. Good job.
No, I was
good
going
job
to.
Not responding.
I was going to. Well, no, I mean, I was going to respond to it on Twitter. I've decided instead to respond to it right here in
Boom.
Front of everybody.
Now who's roasted?
Yeah.
Now who's burned?
Show them how it is, because I've got one of these, friends. You know what this is? It's a microphone.
I
say things into it, and it goes out into the world.
I got a new rule of thumb on Twitter. I'm not responding to anyone that does not have a real picture up.
Mm.
And
I think you should just not respond to anybody.
Yeah, no, that's probably a good
idea. I like a little, you know.
Or people that have, like, less than 10 followers.
Well, there's room for disagreement. It's just there's certain people you know that a response will only lead down a rabbit hole of nine more retorts and anger. Yeah. And no one's ever going to be like, you know what, that's a good point, and I have reconsidered my stance. You haven't changed my mind, but I'm thinking more about it now. Yeah. That doesn't happen as much
on social media as you would think.
Zero tweets have ever included those words.
So I will say this about Twitter. I was looking at the schedule this week, trying to figure out of all the co-hosts who I kind of knew the best. And I think you were that person.
All right.
But then I'm like, well, how much time have we actually spoken to each other?
We did a show before.
We did.
It was last summer, so it's been a while.
It was a while ago.
I remember I was supposed to be the one that was, you know, combative with Felger, but you came, I don't know what the point, you came just like a rocket right at him. I had to back off. I had to get out of the way.
There you go.
It's fiery. Wow.
We have engaged in the occasional witty repartee on the Twitter machine, though, so I've always enjoyed that.
Of course. And we don't tweet at each other when we strongly disagree because we know it's not going to go anywhere.
No, it's not going to go anywhere, and you're not going to, you know, appeal to my greater sense of self, and that just doesn't happen.
Right.
617-779-0985. All right, listen. Here's what I'm going to do. Lots of Patriots talk, but we've been talking about the Patriots, but I made promises. Kennedy in Watertown has been waiting 42 minutes to talk about Terry Rozier, so bring it on, Kennedy.
42 minutes. Thank you very much for acknowledging my existence. I appreciate it. Terry Rozier, big topic of conversation at the Kennedy household yesterday during Christmas dinner. What is he still doing on the team? We are devaluing him as an asset to trade for a player that we really need. And I'm just going to draw a comparison here. We need a player like Andrew Baines. We need a big low post defender, which we don't have right now. Baines has the hand injury. Hopefully he comes back soon. But then that led us to another conversation. And who is a actually good big low post defender, score, who can pass, that we would actually be able to compare with the Terry Rozier type trade? Now, I think Danny's probably holding on to him to package for a draft with a draft pick to get a somewhat larger player, but I don't know what he's still doing on the team. We're devaluing him. And one other point I want to make is if you really want to go and watch very good college basketball players, you can buy $3 tickets to Boston College games and sit on the floor and have a great time. Love to hear your thoughts on the Terry Rozier take. Right. Thanks.
If you're wasting your money going to Boston College to watch sports, that's what I'll say on this. Wow. I tell you what, I'm going to answer the question. Why is Terry Rozier here?
Well, let me ask you, why is Terry Rozier still here?
Because Kyrie Irving could get hurt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why he was here to begin with, but are you still worried about that?
I do honestly believe that is why he exists, because he showed last season, that when put into that kind of starting role, he can do very well at it. Now, that isn't to say that if there were a good deal offered and Terry Rozier was part of it, that Danny Ainge wouldn't trade him. So I'm going to presume that the first reason he's still here as his insurance against Kyrie Irving either getting hurt or potentially leaving at the end of the season. And at the same time,
worry a lot
because he hasn't been offered anything worthy enough to trade him away for.
Yeah, I think that would mostly be the last point. I mean, Ainge doesn't make trades just to make trades. So if the deal hasn't been offered, he also doesn't really lose trades. So I think if the deal that he wants hasn't been offered, it's not really out there, it hasn't formulated yet, I would say that's why. And I think to the value, yes, you look at it on one hand and you would say, well, what are you going to get from him at this point? The time to trade him was last year after the playoff run. I still think at the same time what he did in the playoffs stands is because he was in a different role and he's not in that role this year. So you could sort of sell someone on, well, he can start for you and he can contribute and he can put the ball in the basket. The basketball in the basket. Hoop.
That, which is kind of the goal of basketball.
That's why they call it that, I think.
Which is awesome. Going back to the Patriots, Kim in Gloucester on Jimmy Garoppolo. Welcome, Kim.
Hi. Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on. I was just wondering why they would decide to trade him off knowing he was a potential backup after Brady left.
Okay, I think the reason is his contract was up or was going to be up and they weren't going to re-sign him. Would you agree?
Well, the other part of that obviously is that they have arguably the greatest quarterback of all time and didn't want to unceremoniously cut his career short in New England. They wanted the fairy tale ending.
So Brian in Somerville on quarterbacks of the Patriots, what do you got?
Hey, Marshall, how you doing? Long time.
Doing all right.
I was just calling to say, like, how is it the fact that everyone knows how to, like, draft quarterbacks and sit them or start them, you know? Tom Brady was drafted in the seventh round, and he sat behind someone, and, you know, just go ahead, I'll let you guys talk about.
All right. Well,
Sixth round.
That was fine.
It goes in and out. I mean, Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith. Alex Smith stinks. I don't know what he learned from him. I don't know. He waited a year. Andrew Luck started right away.
Paul in Millville on Tom Brady's first year. Welcome, Paul.
How you doing, bud?
All right.
Merry Christmas. And same as the last caller. Does anybody realize that Tom Brady went out with a hangnail? I mean, Drew Bledsoe went out with a hangnail, and Tom Brady came in and became what he is?
I do think that at this point people realize that. I think people realize that that
happened. Slightly more severe than a hangnail. There was internal bleeding. He almost died. That happened.
What I think, yeah, what I, you know, earlier I made reference, a vague reference to Patriots
Bledsoe
fans.
Slander today, jeez.
Who maybe don't fully appreciate how lucky they were and how improbable it was that they ended up finding Tom Brady that the way that they did. And at the time, you could maybe accuse me of creating a straw man there a little bit because there were no Patriots fans in evidence at that moment who were dismissive of the QB process. But I think the last two callers have indicated to me that I was fully correct in believing that Patriots fans, or at least some sect thereof, believe it's just that easy to find a quarterback.
And they think Garoppolo, some think Garoppolo was that guy. I'm not. Yep. I'm not Marshall Hook.
You are not that guy.
Do you know what his touchdowns and interceptions have been over the past 2 years?
Well, I'll tell you this. He hasn't played a lot this year.
12-8. Is that great? Is he the next guy? Is he the next great? Can he take the reins from the greatest quarterback of all time and without missing a beat? Probably not. Probably not, because just most people can't.
All right.
He is most people. He's handsome, though. Sure is handsome. There's no draft grade you could put on that. Man looks like Aladdin.
Aladdin. Jake in Milford, New Hampshire. Please, what do you got?
All right, I think I got a good one for you guys. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, I'm proposing a trade. Let's all sign a petition. We'll get Mike Starnes-Riley.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Fred Tucker. Oh, boy. What do we got? I was going to try to leave on a good, solid call.
I could smell it.
Yeah, just...
All right, here we go. One last. We have one caller. Here we go. Nick in Holliston, you have 10 seconds. And he hung up.
Oh. All right. Wow.
Boy.
And it just said Celtics thought, so it could be anything. Maybe he
could
thinks
have been anything.
The point of basketball isn't to put the basketball on the hoop.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, well, so listen. We're done with callers for the day.
Okay.
I really think we should have stopped like 9 callers ago.
I'm done with you for the day, Marshall.
Oh, that hurts me.
That was fake. Okay. I hoped we had a little more friction by the end of the day so that we just walk out in a
huff. I don't hate you. This is true. And I think it's worthy of note. You gave me a banana in the break.
I did. That was very nice of you.
From your own bag that you intended to eat yourself.
I purchased it.
I jokingly said, can you give it to me? And then you did, and then I ate it.
I made you a healthier person.
It was glorious.
The potassium is flowing.
We're going to take one last break, and then we're going to come back with Final Word here on Felger and Maz 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the Final Word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As always, the Final Word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There is only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Excellent. Nobody. All right. So we got, 4 or 5 days left in 2018, so we got to bring out the best of versions of Squeaky Maz and Mad Mike. So we'll start with Squeaky Maz here from September. Maz had himself a big announcement about his Twitter account.
I posted this question on Twitter. If you had to pick today between Eduardo Rodriguez and Nathan Eovaldi, who would you pick?
Eovaldi.
Why?
Just based on the last couple of starts, and I know he's essentially...
Okay, so you go Eovaldi, Ty Anderson goes Eovaldi, Jimmy and Billy both go Eduardo Rodriguez. So, 50-50. But the idea, like, I don't know, I just get a little irritated by some of the response. Well, you know, you can't ask that question because it's matchup specific. Which is why, effectively, I'm off Twitter. Because you people suck, and no more on Twitter. That's it, you're done. Okay, because you're all a bunch of a-holes. So goodbye to a-holes on Twitter, because all of you people suck. The only things I'm putting out there now are poll questions, links to stories and videos we're doing here at 98.5. No more opinions. That's it. Bunch of a-holes. You want to know what I'm thinking, but I won't tell you because I'm off Twitter. Ooh. I'll put the info out there and the links and everything else, but that's all you're getting because you suck.
It's so hard to say goodbye.
You're done. I'm off Twitter.
So funny. We're just talking about that, the people on Twitter, who to respond to and not to. So
yes.
How appropriate, right?
My answer is to respond to virtually nobody.
Maz answers with napalm.
God bless you, Maz. All right, Mad Mike, we're going to go back to March. Felger sharing his thoughts on the Patriots' acquisition of Cordarrelle Patterson.
The first, I'll just give you my Cordarrelle Patterson thought. This cat ends up taking $3.25 million off your cap. For what?
For what? To return kicks?
One kickoff a game, maybe?
You gotta be kidding. For what? He's the best? One of the best of all time? I'll give it to you. He's one of the best kick returners of all time. Second to Gale Scare. Gale Sayers. You mean how many kick returns he had last year?
Seven.
No, it was low.
19. Yeah, one a week. 19. Do you know how easy it is to neutralize a kick returner? You blow it out of the back of the end zone and you never hear from the guy. So you're going to pay $3.25 for what? So I could get two poops? That he's the second best kick returner ever? You're the best kick returner in the league. Neat. Cordarrelle Patterson? Oh, I hate that trade-off. Can you tell?
Didn't notice.
Cordarrelle Patterson. God, could I care less about that guy?
Yeah, you do.
I don't think that one aged well.
No.
Pretty useful player.
Yeah, I believe that Greg Bedard, against all odds, referred to him as the only
talented
maker on offense, something like that.
The only guy.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
No, it's excessive. Julian Edelman can still do some things.
Michael Hurley, I want to assure Wendy and all the other people on Twitter who thought that you and I really don't like each other.
But
I think you're a swell fella.
Appreciate that.
I'd be happy to do this with you anytime.
Not tomorrow, though. You got the rotating door of...
Hi, Anderson in here tomorrow and former Patriot Ted Johnson with me on Friday.
Nice.
Ooh. What are you doing those days? Just sitting at home?
It's kid time, you know? Got a few days off. Time to, you know, go see some Christmas lights and whatever else kids like to do.
Joe Murray. He's up next.
Yes.
5 hours.
Get the needles ready.
Oh, no. See, I would never say that to you, Joe. I would never say that to you. Do you think you might touch on the Patriots at some point?
Yes. Actually going to open up with the Patriots. I think the news of the day is Tom Brady says he's returning.
Oh.
I'm not sure if that's a surprise to many, but...
Breaking news.
His play of late. I'm just curious if people are excited about this next year.
Ooh, all right. Well, that'll be 5 hours. Needles in your eye with Joe Murray and John Hamblett. Michael F. Hurley, thank you for the time.
Thank you, Marshall.
Michael Riley, thank you for the time.
Thank you, Marshall.
Hey, Billy Laney, I'll see you tomorrow. All right, we're out.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Looking for hope?
House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.